Week is titled Maquettes. Again, as we were going to be reading it, Vehi Maquettes, that's where our title comes from. Shenatayim, Yamim, Ufero, Hulim, Chlem, Vahana, Omed. 2 full years passed, then Pharaoh had a dream. 2 full years. Now you're like, what do you mean 2 full years? 2 full years from the moment the cupbearer rose up back to his position that he finally remembered. Joseph said, when you get there, remember me. 2 full years. Now, Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of the most quoted scriptures among the believers today. And it says this: For I know the thoughts or the plans that I plan or think toward you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A lot of this plays into this week's Torah portion. Specifically this point, there are times in our life we feel like we are basically walking through a place that is evil. That Yahweh has led us into a valley of evil. But that's not His goal. Notice the goal is to give us peace and to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes that future and hope is at the end of a very tough, long journey. Now, the life of Joseph. I want you to think about, as we're reading through these, like it's a biography. And any biographer sits back and goes, you know what, I have this person's entire life. I can't write it moment by moment. So they look through the entire life and they go, you know what, there are certain lessons, certain points that I really want to pass on to people. And you have to realize that when we read about Joseph, not only is it written by the hand of God, a story passed to us, but it actually was planned and written, then actually happened, and now written to confirm to us what Yahweh did. Also realize that He doesn't give you every moment. So there are a lot of blank spaces. But if He's telling you something about His life, it's significant. A whole journey you can do each week, because I want you to think about this. Think about the blank spaces. Think about, is there any clues to what happened in the blank spaces? Sometimes there are. It makes an interesting journey and fills in the picture. Well, we're going to look at Genesis 45, 4 through 5, is where we're starting. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. And they said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For Elohim sent me before you to preserve life. Now, you know what? If someone wanted to kill me or sell me into slavery, and it was my family, I don't know. This would have been the words I would have shared. But these words actually show something that Yahweh has touched his heart, that He has forgiven him. He also realizes that no matter what happens, some responsibility still goes back on Yahweh's shoulders. We need to seek Him for true healing. Genesis 45, 6 through 7. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And Elohim set me before you to preserve a remnant for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph realizes Yahweh's plan in his life. He realizes a bigger picture. If you think about it from this, we see our life like so focused and seeing these little pieces, we don't see the bigger picture to understand what he's trying to do with us. Especially when things are happening we don't like. But there are times, you know these times, where Yahweh goes, you know what, we're going to go to the top of the mountain and I'm going to let you look back at where you came from and you're going to see everything I did. And you may not appraise me then, but you'll praise me when you see what I've done in your life. Well, Joseph has seen it. 45:8. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but Elohim. Listen to this. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He's made him a father, a lord, and a ruler. In the end, Yahweh is father, lord, and ruler. Joseph is merely reigning in Yahweh's stead. How does Joseph know? This is the biggest question most of us believers struggle with. What's his will? Why am I going through this? Why is it one day I have like more blessings than I can count, and the next day I have to go searching to find one? And it's not easy. I'm looking in like the recesses of the couch for a blessing. It's almost like Joseph knows that his life is part of a bigger plan. So if Joseph knows that, then I bet Yahweh actually put it in the story that he's going to show us in regard to what he wrote about his life. So are we ready? Let's find out these little clues about how Joseph knows. So, do you think Joseph always felt a part of a master plan? So here's some considerations. So when he was teased, bullied, and hated by his brothers, did he feel like he was part of a master plan? That'd be a big no. When he was stripped and sold to be a slave by his brothers and family, right? Definitely felt like a master plan going on, right? Absolutely not. Stripped and put in prison. And then forgotten for 2 years by the cupbearer, like he never existed. And I'm not even getting to the point that, by the way, his father never came looking for him. You don't think Joseph was wondering the whole time, is dad going to come and save me? Dad never showed up. So let's go look at some clues. Genesis 30, 25 to 26. And it came to pass, when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. So the point here is Joseph is being born right at the end of the 14 years that he served for Rachel and Leah. 30:27, and Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that Yahweh has blessed me for your sake or because of you. So that's 7 years prior to Joseph being born. Laban's going, my goodness, I am so blessed. Now, after Jacob negotiates, does it go well for the next 6 years? Not so good. His wages get changed 10 times to a point that he has to escape to leave. So 7 years, wow, of being blessed. 6 years, not so good. Genesis 37, 2 through 3. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with his sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, Zilpah and Bilhah are both the handmaidens of Leah and Rachel. If anyone would have been probably thought to be lesser, it was them. They were the servants of the wives, and yet they were wives. Now, Joseph sits back, he sees them doing something wrong, and he's so focused on what's right or wrong, he goes and tells Dad. Now, a lot of times in a brotherhood, a true brotherhood, trust is you don't go and tell anyone what happens between the brothers. Now, it's important to understand. 37:5-7. Now, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. He said, "Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood around and bowed down to my sheaf." His first dream is about wheat and how he's going to arise, and it's going to have something to do with wheat. It's his first vision. Genesis 37:9. Then he dreams still another dream and told it to his brothers. Bad idea. That was part of his problem right there. Joseph couldn't know what words to say and not say, especially to the wrong people. You don't go telling your brothers, which are jealous of you, other ways they can be jealous of you. He said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bow down to me." Now, those 11 stars go back to Abraham's vision, right? Your children will be like the what? Stars in the sky. Interesting, the sun and moon are two of the most important thoughts. And in fact, Pharaoh was considered to be equal or to some degree the sun god. Genesis 37:13-14. Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now guys, when it started, Joseph was out in the field with his brothers watching the flock, correct? Is he out with his brothers watching the flock now? No. What changed? Joseph gave a report to his father. His father has now, for some reason, probably now said, "You know what, I trust you, and now you're going to be in my stead, be more like a manager, and I'm going to have you go out and see if they're actually doing what they should be doing." He probably got that trust that Joseph was willing to tell him what was going on. So now Joseph has now taken over somewhat control with his dad of the family. 37:18-19. And they saw him far off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming." 37:23-24. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. What's intriguing is he went from his father's house that was extremely blessed. He ends up being stripped of the one thing that set himself apart, right? And thrown into a pit that is without water. Sounds like a famine to me. Thrown in where there's no life, no water, no nothing, and he even lost his covering. Verses 39:1-2. So again, good, bad. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, important point here is that we're talking about, this would be like one echelon or two down from Pharaoh. So is he pretty important? Yes. Does he probably own a huge amount of authority and land in Egypt? Probably yes. Now, Joseph is just bought as an ordinary slave. Who is he? He's the same as all the other slaves, except Yahweh is with him. 39, 3 and 4. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. And he made him overseer of his house and all he had and put under his authority. Now that's interesting. Jacob made him overseer over his house. Now Potiphar, which of course has this huge piece of land, a lot of power and authority, something about Joseph makes you know what? He's not an ordinary slave. There's something different about him, and now he is exalted. He rises up to a point of authority over a huge amount of blessings. 39, 5, and 6. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Yahweh was on all he had in his house and in the field. And he left all he had in Joseph's hand. He did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So Joseph goes from sold into slavery, walking through the desert or whatever way. And now you know what? He's bought as a slave and boom, he rises up. Huge blessing. Not only does he become authority, everything he touches is a blessing. And he's in charge of all the servants. He's in charge of the house. He's not even seen really as a slave anymore. He's like the gentleman that Abraham had to go off and get my son a wife. In charge of all he had. But you know what? It won't last long. There's about 12 years between when he's sold and he rises to power in Egypt. So he could have been 6 years in Potiphar's house. 39:14. Listen to this. This is Potiphar's wife. She called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went inside." It's one thing they grabbed us. Oh, so wait a minute. Joseph got stripped again. But it's one thing that she kept the garment, but why go tell these men? And by the way, these men are Egyptians, not servants. You're like, "Well, Rabbi, how do you know that?" Look at this. It says, "He has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us." Why say that if they're all slaves from different countries? Why go and tell all the men of your household that the slave came in to do adultery with you? Other than to provoke them to get mad to want to kill him. Why tell the men? Sounds like Joseph's brothers. Stripped. They're angry. The men want to do what? 39:19-20. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife had spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Huge blessings, stripped, nothing again. 39:20-21. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. So he shows up. They go, "You know what? He's no ordinary prisoner. There's something special about him. I'm going to trust him and give him some power and authority. Joseph's like, why does this keep happening to me? Now, here's some other plans, by the way. While he was in prison, there were two dreams. And what was the order of those dreams? There was a good one, and then there was a bad one. That seems to be a pattern here. Good, blessed Laban, bad. Good, an overseer of his father's house, sold, bad. Comes a Potiphar, good, sold, put in prison, bad. Two dreams, good and bad. The cupbearer was restored, but what does the cupbearer do? He's forgotten. For how long? 2 years. That number keeps coming up. I don't know if you've noticed that. After 2 years, Pharaoh had what? Two dreams with what? Two parts. All the plenty will be what? Now that's interesting. Because just like Joseph was forgotten, all the plenty was to be forgotten. And that's the actual wording. Dreams were good and then bad. Genesis 41:32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh. This is Joseph speaking. How many times? Twice. Because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. The one thing in Scripture, if there's a reason why two is repeated over and over again, is that Scripture makes a point that there must be two witnesses to a truth. Two witnesses to a truth. And Joseph has been surrounded by twos from the minute he was born, being even a son. He's got one brother. There's two sons. His brothers come down, see him twice. He has two dreams. They have two dreams in a prison. Pharaoh has two dreams. He's always going from a good life, one, to a bad life, two. Have you ever wondered about a master plan? I think when Joseph heard Pharaoh's vision, his entire life came into focus for him. What was the first vision? Oh, there'd be wheat fields. Right? What was Pharaoh's first dream? Wheat fields. What had just happened to Joseph? He just had arose. Every time he arose, what happened? He was given authority to take over whatever house he was at. And there was always a time of blessing first. Always. So here's some. Help his father manage. Hated by his brothers. Given a special coat. Sold by his brothers. Given complete authority over Potiphar's house. Potiphar's blessed in all things. Falsely accused. Put in prison. Given authority over the prison. Prison is blessed. He's forgotten. Same thing happens in Egypt. 7 years of blessing, followed by a 7-year curse. And do you know how many years into the 7 years that the brothers come to see Joseph the first time? 2 years into the famine before they come. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and plans that I think toward you, says Yahweh. Thoughts, plans of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're not promised that he will give and not take away. He never promises that. And in Joseph's life, he is given and taken away over and over and over again. And if things were his trophies, he would think nothing of himself. They're all taken. We are promised that Yahweh will be with us always. Even when he was in the prison, he was blessed. Here's my point. We all are sitting back wondering about the master plan in our life. And some of you may be at the time of your abundance, or some of you may be at a time where you feel like you're walking and have no idea and you've been sold out. But there's a reason that says, joy cometh in the morning. Because just like every day has a dark time and a time of light, so our lives have the same cycle. Every year has the same cycle, a time of darkness and a time of light. And they are there to prepare us in the bigger plan of what Yahweh has. And when we go through these, we cannot focus on the people that may cause us, we think, to put us in the darkness, because in the end, it is still Yahweh putting us in the darkness. And the moment we realize that and go to Yahweh and go, you know what? All my anger that I've been going through is really against you. It's the only moment we can truly be healed from the inside and then be able to share that healing from the outside. My last thought. Joseph didn't need his brothers to come and ask forgiveness. A lot of us have been hurt. We feel like they need to come and help fix me because I have this problem, I have this scar. Joseph did not need his brothers to come and fix that scar inside of him. He was completely healed by the time that the brothers actually realized their sin. We can be the same. He is the same God. Baruch Hashem.